that I, well, the least enjoyable thing about my job. If you need drains cleaned, phone Les. I don't know, I think he's here. There he is. That's Les over there, right there. All right, well, enough of the preamble. Let's just get going. A little background about me. I grew up in Steinbach, Manitoba. It's a place where everyone knows everyone. I hear some clapping. Interesting. And if you're not first cousins, you're second cousins. And you just pray that the girl you want to marry is no more than a third cousin. Just kidding, it's not that bad. Fourth cousin is acceptable. Going to church has always been a part of my life. My dad was also a youth pastor for a couple of years, so we were always entrenched in everything church. I have a stable base of knowledge and understanding of the Bible, thanks to my parents and their commitment to God and raising us in the Word. I got married at the age of 19. We were young, and our parents warned us. Even the pastor warned us to not get married. He made us take a compatibility test and said we were not going to work well together. We didn't care. What do they know? Our love is different, we would always say. In that first year of marriage, we were able to buy a car, a house in the country with an acreage, and I was working for my father-in-law, aka guaranteed income. No joke, before I was 20, I had the rest of my life planned out. All I had to do was put it in cruise control for 45 years, and I could retire happy and wealthy. What could go wrong? To make things even better, we'd broken away from our parents' churches and started attending an up-and-coming church in town. Of course, everyone knew me as, "Oh, you're Andy's boy." But that was okay. I was making my own way. We got involved in small groups, the worship team, prayer summits, men's breakfast club. But it was just a veneer. No one saw behind closed doors. Montana was born. The night we had her baby dedication, I also got baptized. It was a tremendous moment in my life because everyone approved. So far, the cruise control plan was working into the second year of marriage. More work responsibilities, nice truck to drive, renovating the house. We didn't seem to be seeing eye to eye lately, but don't all couples go through a slump now and then? Toby was born in 2001, the third year of our marriage. I was overjoyed. Two kids to add to all that we had and all that we were. But by now we were having fights all the time. I wouldn't come home from work till late. And when I did come home, she would go out. One time I remember I didn't say anything to her for over 3 weeks. The Bible counsels us to not let the sun set on our anger. Can you imagine what level of bitterness is generated after 3 weeks of unchecked, unresolved conflict? But I was determined to win. I could hold out longer than her. I could be the most stubborn. Now it was a matter of pride. Then the bombshell. "Tim, I'm having an affair with Trevor." Trevor and his wife were friends of ours from our small group at church. The guy that was giving her free guitar lessons. The guy that joined us at the prayer summits in the midst of the affair, as all three of us held hands and prayed for God to do great things in the church and community. The guy that also happened to be my music pastor. I was humiliated. My self-worth and self-confidence were shattered. But instead of the usual bitterness, something else happened. My eyes were finally opened to my own selfishness that had driven her away. I forgave so that I could also be forgiven. I needed to be shaken to my core to awaken to the fact that I was just as much a part of this happening as she was. It takes two to tango, and I shared half the blame for our predicament. And that's when Jesus entered and started a true work in me. I started putting my wife and family first. We decided to stay together, work it out. Had an opportunity to move to Chilliwack, and did. We saw a counselor every week, and after 6 months, we were the happiest that we had ever been. Things were going so great, we decided to have another baby and named her Gracie in honor of the grace God had shown us in those very difficult days. We became members in our church. We were music leaders. I had a great job with a small local plumbing company. The owner was my journeyman that I apprenticed under. We spent many days together and became good friends. He and his wife accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and started attending our church. He also gave me the opportunity to buy 20% of the company, and I did it. He even bought a rental property with us in mind so that we could have a bigger place to live in with our three kids. We were so thankful for all that God was doing for us and how he just continued to pour out his grace for us, because it was different this time. It was all done with a seeking heart, a servant heart. And he was blessing us more than we could have imagined. My wife was setting up a photography business at the same time. We converted the garage into a large studio where we also kept the computer. One day, I finished work early, and when I came home, went straight to the computer to check my email. She didn't hear me come home. I found an email account that I hadn't seen before open on the screen. I saw emails that she had written back and forth with a random person that she had met online. They talked about how they loved each other and could hardly wait to be in each other's arms, that he was arriving that very night and asking where could they meet. Boom! Another bombshell. What are you doing? Coincidence that I uncovered the relationship a couple of hours before it became physical? God's intervention? We were doing so good, and now you're destroying all that we've rebuilt. I was beside myself. I couldn't believe this was happening. She had no explanation, but said she was sorry. Then she said that she still wanted to go and meet him, to break up with him in person. Are you kidding me? But I let her go to meet him because she said she would resent me if I didn't. Letting your wife go out of the house to meet her boyfriend. Knowing that your wife is leaving the house to be with another man. Who wants those words to be a sentence you say about your life? I was at a loss. I was frozen. I was afraid. I couldn't grasp what I was doing wrong. This was her second affair, two completely opposite chain of events. What was I doing wrong? Jesus, where are you in this mess? Well, she came back. Through much discussion and chasing the boyfriend away, we decided to stay together. And since nobody knew him, we chose not to tell anyone what happened. We kept it to ourselves, thinking, if nobody knows, then we can just brush it under the rug. Let's just pretend it didn't happen. We did our best to work it through together. The kids needed us to be okay, and we were committed to not breaking up our family. But it was like trying to contain a beast with paper mache and popsicle sticks. It wasn't the appropriate response to a marriage spinning wildly out of control. From there, it all unraveled. The final straw was when I found out that she had also been having a 6-month-long affair with my boss, my business partner, my landlord, my friend. I was so angry, hurt, disappointed, sad, furious, mad, all of that. I know I can't control her actions and choices, God, but please do something about this. Why would God bless us like he had and then take it all away again? What had I done to deserve this? What lesson could it possibly be that he wanted me to learn? All these questions and more I asked of God. I didn't know the answers, but I was starting to give up hope that I would ever learn it. It was time for a divorce. I actually felt relief when I said it out loud. But that wasn't very Christian-like of me to feel that divorce was a good thing, was it? I would never counsel someone to get a divorce, but here I was loving the idea of it. The church didn't like the idea of that, so they started distancing themselves from me. I was okay with that. I was done. I didn't want to be their project. Friends started distancing themselves from me too, and I distanced myself even further. Emotionally, I was at rock bottom. I felt like I had failed again, that I wasn't worthy of redemption this time. Failed marriage, failed family, failed business partnership. What was it about me that everyone who was close to me was betraying me? And that's when Jesus came and found me again, only after I had let go of all that I was still holding on to. The image, the illusion of a successful life. It was like he was saying, well, it took you long enough, but now that you're here again, I can keep doing something for you, doing something with you. What I remember most about that time is Jesus. He never abandoned me. He felt so real to me. My need for him had never been stronger. In that mess, in that storm, I became entirely dependent on him, and he was there. Divorce is so incredibly painful. Even though I was relieved with my decision, and I was okay with it in my heart, I still had to grieve the loss of my marriage, the loss of my family. Even now, I have days where it creeps in, the sadness, the hurt, and I have to process it and grieve it and give it to God. One day I decided that I did not want to be alone for the rest of my life, so I went on a Christian singles website. Just out of curiosity, I told myself. I typed in my info, and within a couple of minutes, I was reading profiles that the site thought would suit me. That first night on the website is when I saw Marilee. I know this sounds crazy, but at that moment, I knew that she was who God had planned for me. I knew it 100%. You'd think that after going through the relational hell I'd gone through, a person would want to be more selective. Not me. I could feel it to my core. She has her own side of the story too, but it was God's timing for both of us. We had even signed up on the same night. We decided to email back and forth for a couple of weeks before meeting, just to be safe, but on that first date, we were already talking about marriage. Crazy, right? I know. I would never tell someone that's a good idea. Fast forward to me moving to Squamish. Marilee had always wanted to try out the River Church. I was still kind of against the whole going to church thing, but went along hesitantly. As soon as we walk in the door, I see Darcy, and instantly know I've met this guy somewhere before. But where? I was familiar to him as well, but where had we crossed paths? We have relatives in the same town back in Manitoba. I even knew one of his uncles personally. But that wasn't the connection. It took a couple of days of racking brains, but Kenda finally figured it out. We had met years ago at a kid's birthday party in Chilliwack when I was married to my now ex-wife. And just like that, I had no walls to hide behind. I could assume no anonymity. They knew my past. They were friends with my friends from the past. But we had felt something after that first Sunday at the river. Marilee and I knew that this is where God wanted us to be. I figured, oh well, this is it. The church is going to mark us as sinners, divorcees. They probably won't even let us take communion. But God, this is where you want us, so this is where we'll be. The next Sunday was communion. Okay, this is the test. Will they let us or not? If they don't, I'm out of here. I think I even went into the line backwards, facing the door. Darcy was holding the cup, and everyone was dipping bread into it one by one, and then he was saying something to each individual. I was thinking, perfect. At least he'll be able to tell us to leave quietly without making a scene. But when it was our turn, this is what he said. Tim and Marilee, great, here it comes, right? I see God working in your life, and I see him just pouring out his blessing on you guys. He has great plans for you. What? He's not going to condemn and judge us for our past? What a breath of fresh air. I think Darcy is the first pastor to exemplify the grace of Christ to me. He could have said something to us, a word of reprimand, accountability, but he chose to just love us and let God do the work in us. And God did, and he still is. Another area that God has been working in my life is leading music. Shortly after starting attending the River Church, I had the opportunity to join the music team. But I always had a nagging thought in the back of my mind, like I shouldn't be doing this yet. After almost 2 years, I finally had to step away because my heart wasn't in it. I felt that there was something else I needed to deal with in my heart before I can start doing music again. When I was going through my divorce, a pastor at the church said to me, "Tim, you have the cloak of leadership on you, but there's always something holding you back." I was very quick to say it was my ex's fault, but he cautioned me to not jump to that conclusion. He was right. It's taken me a while to work it out in my heart, but I think I'm beginning to understand what's been holding me back, and that's sin. I realized that after the first affair she had with the music pastor, I'd been trying to be as good at music as he was. In the beginning, it became a competition in my mind. I was always thinking about, if only he could see me now. I was doing it for my own ego gratification. It was rare that I actually thought about the words I was singing, let alone worship God. Pride had taken over that area of my heart. Over time, I stopped thinking about it, but I had let it creep into a corner of my heart that I was unaware of. I had to confess. I've had to ask God to root out the sin in my heart and replace it with the joy of the Lord, and he has. Since I've been working on writing out my testimony, I've really been praying about what I should say, what parts to leave out. It's taken me almost 2 months to put these thoughts on paper. And as I would write, I would have to take breaks, sometimes as long as a week, because a memory would be triggered that held incredible pain and bitterness. As I would reread what I'd written, I saw that the bitterness had been transferred to the paper, and it was ugly. Only then did I realize that I still had that in my heart, but didn't even know it. Again, Lord, please take this poison out of me. Replace it with your joy. I invite the Holy Spirit to work in me. It was at this point, only about a month ago, that during my devotions, I read about how Jesus had allowed Simon Peter to be sifted by Satan. Luke 22, 31-32. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift of you each like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." And then it hit me. Jesus has allowed me to be sifted. Did you have to say yes? Why did you have to say yes? When Jesus tells Peter about the sifting, he didn't just say, "Get ready for a whirlwind of hurt. I know you're going to let me down." Instead, Jesus points to the future. Peter would survive the sifting. He would return humbled, but stronger, with the purpose of strengthening his brothers. In a sense, when you turn back from your turning back, you'll be a servant who leads. A significant catalyst for my turning back, was when Andy Terschel shared a dream he'd had one Sunday in church. It goes something like this. His dream was about being in a machine shop, and there was some welding that needed to be done. He saw the welder leaning against the wall, but he was sleeping. Andy tried to wake the welder, but couldn't. His interpretation was that the machine shop was the church and that the sleeping welders are those of us who are physically here but not engaged or invested. It was like a booming voice resounded in my head. "Wake up, you welders!" I'm serious, I cannot get that out of my head. The picture was so clear to me. that I have been disengaged while God so desperately wants me awake, all of us awake, to be a vital part of His plan and His work. Thank God for His grace and for beauty from ashes. I'm pretty sure that the lesson God has been trying to teach me is that I can't do it on my own. Whenever things are going good, I lean less on Him and my heart strays. It's not that I stop believing in Him, but I press the pause button in living for Him. But as my lesson continues, I'm able to look back on my life, remember where I've come from, and learn to embrace the scars and the struggles along the way. If I try to forget it, then I'm denying the work that God has done in my life. If I'm denying God, I'm not living for Him. And if I'm not living for Him, I'm sinning against Him. I have a song I'd like to share with you. It's been a while since I've played music in church, but I really feel God's calling me to share this one with you guys. Let's get this mic set up. Song that speaks to my heart, and it's a great reminder that through it all, God remains faithful. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. The chorus is pretty simple, but hopefully you'll catch it.
Top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step You were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much You've done, knowing every victory is Your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone, never once did You leave us on our own, 'cause You are faithful, God, You are faithful.
Breathing out Your praise, 'cause You are faithful.
My I think Jesus said yes, knowing I would experience a lot of pain along the way, even turn from God at moments. But he could look to the future when he knew I would turn back to him, and these experiences would only strengthen my faith. Along the way, he never abandoned me, even though sometimes it felt like it. Just as Jesus was praying for Peter while Satan was sifting him, I know he was and still is interceding for me and you, everyone, before the Almighty God. So I'll leave you with this last scripture. Hopefully it'll encourage you like it did me. 1 John 4:4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist who lives in the world. And that's my story.
Thank you, Tim. That was so good. You know, one of the things that we want to be as